Hello, everybody. Welcome to Eat Food or Die. My name is Chef Hugh Horner, and I am very excited to announce that this is the one-year anniversary of Eat Food or Die. So it's official. We've been on air 1 year, and I'm just getting started. So I'm having so much fun. You guys keep tuning in. I'm going to keep going. And I have a very special couple guests this month. I have Chef Zach Bellagio and Chef Jory MD from Fish and Game, the restaurant they'll be opening in this winter here in Hudson, New York. They're formerly and currently of Fatty Crab and Fatty Q in Manhattan and Brooklyn. And I got a chance to sit down with the chefs and pick their brain to get their philosophy of the new restaurant and get to know them. And I'll tell you what, I was, you know, they're really nice, and I think you guys are going to like listening to them talk. It's the holidays, and I'm going to be honest, it's my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays. Not only do I love them because it brings people together, you know, people you wouldn't normally chill out with, you're chilling with, and everyone's just less angry, is always a plus. But it's food-wise, there's no other time of the year, I think, to pay your respects to the home cook. See, as chefs, us whites, as we call them, you know, we forget sometimes. You know, everything's got to be this complex, you know, hard, difficult meal. But then you go to someone's home and you sit down and you just have like a pot roast, dude, with carrots and potatoes, you know, or you know, the turkey, the roasted turkey, or the grandma's canned cranberry sauce. I mean, you repay your respects due. This is the mother sauce, the home cook, the grandma, the mom, the dad that's really talented in the kitchen. This is where it all started from. That's one reason I love the holidays. I just love eating grandma food. That's what it's all about, you know, sticks to your ribs type stuff. And I just wanted to do one more time thanking you guys for tuning in and keeping me on the air 1 year. I'm extremely happy to know you people, and I love living here, and I'm proud to call you my neighbors and friends. So I'm going to play a song to start this bad boy before we sit down with Chef Zach and Chef Jory. But my buddy, a good friend out of Williamsburg, Brooklyn, Michael Kachuba, who I've known for several years, big supporter of my food, it's been to every kitchen I've cooked, I actually asked him to pick a song. And I, you know, honestly, I thought he was going to come up with some, like, hipster band I never heard of. But this dude just gets rowdy. And you know what he wants to play? The Animals. We got to get out of this place. Vamanos!
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine, people tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now my girl, you're so young and pretty, and one thing I know is true, you'll be dead before your time is due.
Yeah!
baby, you know it too.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Eat Food or Die, the year anniversary episode, if you will. And I have two very special guests in the studio, Chef Zach Pelagio and Chef Jory MD. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
Great. Thank you for having us.
So you guys, if and a lot of people should know who you're talking to, but if you don't know, you guys have been in the culinary world for a very long time.
We've been in for a while, for sure. We were mainly in New York City, Brooklyn and New York. This will be our first foray into the Hudson Valley.
And that's where I ask this question. Why not Beijing? Why not San Francisco? Why not Chicago? You chose Hudson. And lucky us, number one. But why is that, chefs?
You want to take that?
Because I don't want to live in Beijing. And
too many people.
Yeah, too many people. You know, we've been coming up here. I had a weekend home for a while that is now our permanent home for, it's been permanent for a year as well. But we've been coming up, you know, on weekends and holidays and whenever we could break away for 7 years and fell in love with it then. And, you know, we've always loved it and we've really watched the town grow a tremendous amount in 7 years. And you know, we've always wanted to be a part of it and do something here. I think that it was harder, you know, earlier on because of Zach's job with the restaurants in the city, Fatty Crab and Fatty Q. And it just took some time. And, you know, it happened when it happened. And we're so excited to be here now.
What we recognized up here, I think, you know, is the ability to listen, running a restaurant. Cooking, being a chef, is a tough job, and it's demanding in terms of just being present, the hours, standing. And no matter what you do, where you do it, it's going to be rigorous. We decided we wanted to continue doing it and do it for a while, but do it in a way where we could combine the lifestyle that we want to live, you know, with our careers. And we saw an opportunity to do that up here. To be able to work our land and, you know, develop it over time, being ambitious, you know, for something great one day, but knowing it's going to take time. And Hudson has that urban edge to it where it's cool enough that we don't feel, we don't long for the city. So we can come here and, you know, we have a place outside of town and we come into town and we get that hit. You know, that feeling, that excitement. There's a lot of cultured people here. The culture here is amazing. You know, the arts, the music scene, it's a little oasis in the country.
Yeah, you know, that, it really is. And I'm glad you said that. I've never really heard anybody put it like that. You do get your hit here.
Yeah.
You don't, you've heard people call Hudson Brooklyn North.
Right.
And it really does feel like a block out of, you know, Williamsburg or Cobble Hill or something. It's hip. And, you know, I think that your restaurant's name is Fish and Game.
Correct.
That's correct.
And when you guys, for 7 years, have had a space up here, a house, I mean, when you were coming up here on weekends, when did it say, you know what, we could do it up here. We could open a restaurant up here. I want to open a restaurant up here.
I mean, we literally, you know, went through a lot of ideas and, you know, looking at spaces probably, you know, 5 years ago. But the reality hit a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, when it was like, we're definitely doing this, and we started to follow the path of making it official. That's about right, yeah?
Yeah, 2 years? Yeah, I think so. You know, we always wanted to do something here, as Jory said. You know, we fell in love with the charm of the place and the culture, and the Hudson Valley. I'd been coming to the Hudson Valley for years before. I actually, for a brief stint, lived in Stattsburg in Dutchess County. In the late 90s, and so very familiar with
good
the area.
God, you're old.
No kidding.
No.
You know, we don't need to talk about that. So I think that the area was just, for us, seemed perfect. It was just a matter of whether the timing was right or not.
It also, I think chefs like yourselves or, you know, any other restaurateur looking in the area, there's not a lot of turnkey.
Right.
You've got to go. If you're going to go, You got to go all the way.
Yeah.
Ground up, soup to nuts.
And part of that was, you know, was finding a partner who shared our aesthetic and, you know, was committed to doing something beautiful and wanted to do it in a way where we have one partner and who owns the building and super cool guy and become a very good friend. And he really shares our aesthetic. And that's very important too. You know, you want to develop, you know, you want to go into something that this is a marriage, you know, and you want to make sure that you understand that your partner wants to go the same direction you do.
Well, that's always important,
yeah.
You know, being on the same page. But yeah. I feel like restaurants are like, you know, football stadiums. You build it right, everyone, you're gonna fill the seats, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the one thing I've found from cooking and living in the area for 2.5 years, locals, weekenders, Albany County, whoever, Great Barrington,
Berkshire's,
you know,
right.
Everybody's into it, man.
Yeah.
Everybody's into this. They're buying what we're selling. They're into the food scene.
Yeah.
And it's really we're lucky.
In the last, excuse me, it's accelerated over the last decade, but really in the last few years, the level of connoisseurship just on the consumer level is unlike anything. That it's unprecedented. We've never seen this before. People are so informed about product, and not necessarily, I mean, people geek out over product and the technical end of it, you know, there's a lot to learn. I mean, turning around and understanding the provenance of a certain item, but then how to turn that into something beautiful that tastes great, those are two different things. But people are interested in the provenance of their food, where it comes from, you know, who raised it, what's the story behind it. And yes, it can get out of hand and silly sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but people are interested in what they're putting into their bodies. And there's a romance associated with it. And, you know, I think it's wonderful. And you see it in the Hudson Valley and the Berkshires, you know, more so than you do in other places. I mean, people are totally hip to it, and it's great. It's great to be part of that.
Absolutely. I can guarantee right now, I bet my left ear, the same demographics in North Carolina are not into, you know, the same as we are right here, you know. And no offense, North Carolina, it is what it is. Calling a spade, you know. I mean, we're in a hip area.
Yeah.
Where food is a serious part of the conversation, and I think that we're lucky to be able to have restaurants
right.
and work in
well,
the
you
country.
Have to attribute that, I think, to some proximity to New York City and
oh, yeah.
to a certain level of affluence and access, and you know, and people, you know, spend time and money researching and buying in this way, and
traveling,
and right. traveling, and yeah, seeing things in other countries and going to other cities and visiting them, and it's accumulated knowledge. You know, it is sort of a sampling and a self-selected community of New York City.
Right.
You know, and that's pretty amazing. It's people who, you know, we have friends who have lived up here their whole lives for generations and friends who moved up here last week, you know, but everybody that we know is into the area and into some element of the agricultural aspect of the area.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool.
I think that, you know, probably 90% of people that come up to visit us, or even if it's somebody for a wine tasting, you know, for the restaurant, they're making their way up here and they've never come before. 90% of the people that come send us a note and say thank you, and then like we've started checking out real estate.
Yeah,
we have to buy a house. We have to buy a house,
right.
or we just bought a house. Or
right.
It's so funny,
isn't it?
It sucks your heart in. It's a little magnet for.
Well, you know, I remember, let's see, I've been with my gal, Lynn, for 10 years, and I'm 34 years young. So I was coming up here on my days off, like we talked about before we sat down, but I was always coming up here, and this was a little, right when it was starting.
Yeah.
You know, to really start boom, I was like, dude, I could do it. I could live here.
Yeah.
You know, because right when you want to get your New York on and go, you know, eat at some restaurant you can never afford when you lived and worked there.
Of course.
Eat a shoot down there. Have a great dinner, stay at a nice hotel, and split.
Yeah.
I think it's the best way to see New York.
It is.
2 hours away.
No, I mean, you know, just yesterday we were in the city because we had some meetings, but we decided the meetings were hours apart. We had a large window in between. I was like, well, what are we going to do? And it was like, let's make it a museum day. And we were in Midtown. We walked past the windows at Bergdorf because what's more magnificent at Christmas time?
Right.
But these are things that I would never have done in my 10 years of in New York City.
Never
it would be
done.
Like, you would
right.
have to have put a gun to my head and made me do it.
Yeah.
Like, no, but I enjoyed it. I actually was like, I love this. Like,
yeah.
it's beautiful. And
yeah.
I was accepting of the people that I was dodging and the elbows I had in my face. And mm-hmm. it was just like, okay,
I also think that there's, I mean, you know, I lived in New York City off and on since the mid-90s. And,
God, you know, you're old.
And I love the city. And, you know, you just hit different phases in your life, too, yeah. when you're ready for something else.
Sure.
And, you know, I could live up here for the next 10 years and I might say, oh, I'm ready to move back to the city. Or not.
You never know.
Hey, we're going to chill out for a minute and pump some New Orleans jazz. Trombone Shorty, if you will.
Here's one thing we you can't do in New York, and I think you guys do now, is you have a very large garden.
We do have a large garden.
Right.
And I want you to go into this, because this is kind of, well, this isn't kind of, this is what the show's about. Eat Food or Die is talking about local produce, local people cooking it, and just people involved and have their hands in the local food system. And I think, as I'm not going to say I'm skilled at it, but I've, you know, had a couple gardens. I don't know if there's any more pride than growing it yourself. Yes, it's awesome using local, you know, farms here, but growing it yourself and then putting it on the table?
Of course.
Can we expect some of this at Fish and Game? Can we see the farm at the house on your table?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
So give me one example, one dish that you're painting the picture right now. I know you can't say it till the iron strikes, but...
Yeah, I mean, and it's not even just... you know, one thing is it's not just our garden. Our partner Patrick also has chickens and a garden as well. So it's
he's got bees nice, too
and bees. You know, he yeah. has a. It'll be a nice sort of mix. You know, from both of ours as well as other local farms.
Mm-hmm.
This past summer was really we've had the garden plotted. It's like 1,500 square feet. Plus
more, actually.
Yeah, because we added
50
on.
50 by 50. That'd be 2,500.
Yeah, that is large.
Yeah. But this summer was, or this season, this past season was definitely our most successful because we were here full time. And previous years, you know, we spent a great amount of time as much as we could, but there were times where we had to travel, you know, for work, or we were in the city with things going on. And nurturing a garden is like taking care of a child. It really is. I mean, there are some, I mean, I guess obviously a child takes a lot more attention, but you know, it's like you can't plant something that's delicate and walk away from it and expect it to water itself and expect it to pick the weeds out that would choke the roots otherwise. It's like you actually have to be present for it to grow successfully, and
this requires attention.
Absolutely. And this past season was, you know, our most successful, and we produced a lot.
You know, Jory has been really, over the last couple years, has been working on creating sauces and condiments from items in our garden, you know, as complex as aged sauces aged in wood to fresher, brighter, simple jarrings.
This stuff will be from, it'll be on the menu for sure.
Yeah, and that stuff, that's these things, you know, whether it's kimchi's, you know, from the garden. There are several different kimchi's from our garden that she's got put away for the opening.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's fun.
You know, she has some sauces that are aged, a Worcestershire sauce that she makes in particular that's aging in our barn in really? Whiskey barrels.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's really phenomenal.
Thank you.
So she's got
vinegars,
some hot stuff coming.
Yeah, you know, I do. I try to utilize sort of going back to what you said, you know, where you know you have pride in what you eat, especially when you go to a farmer's market and it's good, but it's a difference when it's coming from your garden. It's like, I never feel good about wasting anything. I never want a carrot to go bad in my fridge, you know, but there's a difference when it's from my garden. It's like, I'm almost pissed when it's going bad. You know,
yeah.
It's like, it's unacceptable. It's just absolutely unacceptable. So I think that I put a lot more attention into making sure that never happens. And that, you know, it is why a lot of it goes into sauce. If we have a plethora of celery, we're not going to eat it all. I make vinegar. I'll do a celery vinegar. You know, if the, you know, rhubarb, there's only so much rhubarb jam one can take, at least me personally. So I started making kimchi from the rhubarb. And, you know, all these things, I've been playing around with making like chinar amaros from the leaves of the cardoons and artichokes, because you cut them back at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, just trying to figure out. And it's not like, I mean, they are creative, but it's not like I'm trying to like reinvent the wheel anywhere. A lot of them are almost old, sort of ancient methods. It's just a better way to prolong the produce.
It's not just bagging it and freezing it. Yeah.
Right. Or canning it, which is what I did for a long time. It was, you know, we would, like I said, we weren't always here. I'd come up, the tomatoes need to be picked, and we ended up with 10 pounds. I didn't have time, so they went into a jar and they went on my shelf. It's like, how can we stretch it, you know, even further and have it be, you know, more vibrant, you know.
Well, enhancing the flavors of what you have around you other than just getting it done because you don't want to see it go in the trash.
Yes.
Right?
There's also that, you know, there's this wonderful sort of mystery to the way that flavors develop, you know, fermentation, which is, you know, the most amazing, you know, chemical process ever discovered by man.
Yeah.
You know, and what it does to flavors and the depth and complexity it can bring to a dish. You know, simply cooking a steak and putting a side of kimchi on the plate with the steak, and that's a dish that, you know, done right with a wonderful cut of meat that's cooked perfectly, that becomes a beautiful, elegant dish. And it can be as simple as that. You know, the fermentation in the kimchi bringing flavors to the dish that you couldn't get by using fresh product. I mean, you let time, and this idea of taking time, of letting things sit, of having the ability to harvest in one season and then use it in another season is something that I think a lot of people, you know, it's become somewhat fashionable almost to do that, but for good reason, you know, but because it is something that with a lot of culinary pyrotechnics, you know, has been somewhat lost over the years. And it seems like there's a movement among cooks to come back to that idea, the simplicity and these not to say old ways, and they're old ways, just like a classic for good reason because it works.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing, you know. Right.
I also like, you know, the, it's not medicinal, but just the health benefits of it. It's like, it tastes great, but all of these fermented, it depends on what it is, you know, but a lot of the, you know, fermented foods, it was either to mask something that was already souring, or it helps digest, like,
keeps you regular
bad meat, you right. know. So, like, to pair something, even though it's not bad meat, we would not serve bad meat. Right. It would be the best meat, hopefully, one could get. But meat's hard to digest, so yes. you eat it with some kimchi, and now it's helping you break it down, and then you feel that much better after you've had a great meal, you know. And I like to think of it that way. It's not just what tastes good together; it's what makes sense together. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, that's well put.
You know, I remember Thomas Keller talking to me once about, you know, the philosophy behind a meal and a great meal, and how it's important that the next day after eating a meal, you know, the flavors can be great, but if the next day
you feel
terrible and you have diarrhea and, you know, you're just killed from this meal.
I call diarrhea cha-cha-cha. It sounds better.
If you're making a cha-cha-cha all day, you know, it's souring your impression of the meal, and, you know, maybe the chef didn't do the job that he should have. And I guess that can be arguable because sometimes people just overeat because the food's so tasty. Yeah. But it, you know, if you can create a meal that's also, like you said, that helps you digest, that you feel good, you feel clean, but you feel also satisfied, you know, that's pretty cool. That's taking the idea to another level, the philosophy of running a restaurant. And
Complete balance.
Complete
balance. You want complete balance in terms of your price points, where you're located, balance on the menu. You don't want four steaks on the menu.
Right,
you need a balance of what's on the menu, and then, you know, what's paired together. Balance an acidity in a drink to, you know, what helps you digest your meat. It's just complete balance. It takes a lot of thought.
Yeah, working toward that, you know, it's the idea, you know, for us, we like to serve salads and greens after a protein, sort of close the meal and clean. It sort of cleans the palate and you feel cleaner, and it helps you digest as well. And that, you know, the idea of balance, it goes to the kaiseki meal of starting with a soup and moving slowly through courses, small courses of food, going from a soup to raw food to cooked food to lighter food at the end. You know, where there's no this appetizer and main course, there's this clear progression, appetizer smaller, and then you get a big protein or something, and then maybe something sweet or not, and you're done. You know, this, there's an idea of a sequence to a meal that perhaps might be make you feel a little bit better, might mm-hmm. be a little bit easier on the system. And yeah, I think that's something that we think about all the time, and I can't say that we have the answer, but not, you know,
We just got to keep going for it. You know, I think like what you guys to touch on what y'all are talking about, I think a good meal is like a good story, you know, you know, you start off, you get to know your characters, and then something pops off, and it's like, you know, there's a situation with climax, right? And then you just, then there's the end.
Yeah.
And that's like a good, perfect meal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
And I think that, you know, like, I'm glad you guys said it, because I just kind of tweaked my menu for the winter, and it's like, I just couldn't do, like, I just did some ribs, you know? But I'm just doing it with, like, you know, grilled Napa cabbage and fennel.
Perfect.
And a biscuit. That's it.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just make the ribs, you know, stand out and shout.
Yeah.
But have something with it that make you cool. You know, you can only do mashed potatoes so many times.
The macaroni and cheese and all these things.
But, yeah, you know, crisp fennel, some, you know, shaved fennel and you know, cabbage. Yeah, I mean, it helps the system.
Yeah.
I mean, it eases it down. And, you know, and I know, I mean, I like to eat meat as much, if not more, than the next guy. But I, as Jory has reminded us several times already on this show, I'm getting old. So, you know, I can't eat like I used to could, you know? And so I'm learning about balance more just out of necessity. And right. I think that's informing. So has Jory, and, you know, and she cooks for me and I cook for her and we get it together. She's always been a healthier eater than I have. But, hence her figure and mine.
It'd be weird if I had your figure.
We wouldn't be dating. That's for sure. Not that I'm that shallow, but I am that shallow.
It's okay. You can be honest.
But the balance is something that will come through in our cooking at Fishing Game, because we when people ask you, what are you going to cook? What are you serving? You know, it's a big question. It's what we want to eat.
Yep.
That's what we're cooking.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's what we're going to be serving. It's not thematic. You know, it's not, you know, we're not opening a branch of Fatty Crab or Fatty Q up here. We're doing something it's really informed by our personalities, not by a region, country, or any ethnicity.
Right. And, you know,
it is informed by a region. I apologize. The Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, beyond that, the culinary, the stylistically, you know, there may be things that are influenced by Asian cooking we've done. There may be things influenced by Italian cooking we've done, but the products are influenced by what's available to us here.
Yeah. That, you know, that's why I haven't even, chef, I haven't even mentioned Fatty Crab or Fatty Q. Because this isn't that.
It's new.
And I think at this point in your careers, this is why you work. This is why you put in your dues. This is why you clocked in. Because eventually, you can buy a place in the country and do what you want to do.
Yeah.
Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah. You know, and don't get me wrong. You know, we, you know, there's still a lot for us to do. And she says, I'm getting old. I'm not old and I'm nowhere near.
No, I said you are old.
I am old. Yeah. You know, but yeah, there's so much for us. You know, so much to be done, and we're on a trajectory. You know, onward and upward, and our learning curve is still great. And you know, I feel like there is an ongoing chapter, which is my city life and those things. But there is this new chapter, which doesn't mean the old one has to close. It just means there is a new chapter, and there's more to learn, and creativity needs to take on this next phase.
That's right. That's right. So I guess the question everybody wants to know is when's
opening?
The drum roll.
Winter 2013. Specific date, cannot give you that.
Well, we actually not saying it to, you know, be full of cha-cha-cha, but we really don't know right now. It will be after the new year.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's a good time around here. You know, because the slow season here... This will be my third winter. We hit it right around late January, and then it bounces right back in April.
Yep.
So it'd be a good time to open, actually.
Absolutely.
Where most people would disagree with me, saying the slow season's ridiculous. Actually, no.
It's
a good time to get your legs.
Yeah, right. You've never opened a restaurant, obviously, because it's nice to have, like, you know, 15 tickets hanging.
Yeah.
Right. And you're 50, you know, when you're trying to figure things out.
Practice season.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think... At least that's what we're all telling ourselves.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're on the same train as you.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm super stoked you guys are coming to town, and I can't wait to, you know, be cooking next, you know, side by side with y'all, essentially, and, you know, making this place a real food destination.
Well, we're honored, and you're doing a great job, and you know, we've been to Helsinki a few times now and had great meals, and so it's just a beautiful venue as well.
I love that place. Really,
a special place. There's the amount of love that was put into that place is just impressive. You don't see it anywhere.
Oh, you know, Mark Schaffler and Deb McDowell, Cameron Melville, I mean, it couldn't have been three more people to go in there and do that.
Yeah.
This is totally unique.
Yeah.
You know, it's a snowflake. It's one of a kind.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and
it shows.
It does.
It's wonderful.
Big time.
It does. I'm just glad to be a part. You know, one of these days they're going to have to throw me out of there because I'm not leaving.
Well, I think they're happy to have you. I get it.
Well, hey, listen, guys, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming to Eat Food or Die. I know you're extremely busy, and it's cool for me to have you guys on the show.
We're honored. Well, thank you.
Yeah. All right. It was a lot of fun. Thank you.
All right. Take care. There's nothing like a bunch of drunk Australian bikers that get me in the holiday spirit more than AC/DC. All right, let's do this thing, TNT. Yeah.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to Eat Food or Die. I want to say thank you to a number of people. So hear me out here. Gabby Gulametti, Monfilio Bread, first guest ever. Appreciate you coming on the air. Josephine over at Local 111, I hope all is well, darling. You rock, and thank you for coming on the air. Mr. Tom Holmes from HomeQuest Farms, I hope you're enjoying Key West. You son of a gun, you. And then Sarah and Rory Chase from Amazing Real Life Food Company. Some of the best cheese I've ever had in my life, and I swear to God on that one. Daniel Nielsen, Daba, good friend of mine. Thanks for coming on, man. Ben Freemole, Chef John McCarthy, Crimson Sparrow. Appreciate you guys taking your time, coming on the air. Mercedes Wallner, Hudson Farm Box. Chef Paul Perillo, Cross Red Brewery. Thank you. I know you guys are busy. Appreciate you hopping on the air with me. Eat Food or Die wouldn't be good without you all as my guests. Understand? Picking up what I'm laying down. Dan and Tess from Common Hands Farm. Deborah McDowell, co-creator of Helsinki. Todd Erling, Hudson Valley Agribusiness. Thank you so much. John Spotto, chef. John Spotto, Grazing Diner. Thank you for hopping on. And by the way, he won his fight at Basilica. Congratulations, John. And Sarah Kendall, the early days, early on, she produced the show, and Shadika McIntosh took over about two shows ago. Thank you two. I think no one would hear this without y'all's help. Trust me. Trust me on that. I'm going to play a little badass country. Johnny Paycheck.
Well, I said, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got. Please don't take her love away from me. I'm begging you, friend, don't take her, she's all I've got. When I wanna live, she's everything to me in life that life can give. She's my water when I need a drink. She's the first thought in my mind each time I try to think. Let me tell you now, friend, don't take her, she's all. She's the only thing in life to me that's really real. She is love. She's all the love I know. She could kiss the ground in the winter time and make her flower grow. Let me tell you now, friend, don't take her, she's all.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in to Eat Food or Die for my special year anniversary podcast, and I look forward to talking to y'all in 2013, and, you know, take the good with you to 2013, leave the bad behind. I know I am. Ruby, Daddy loves you, baby bird, and in honor of the holidays, since I am the Christmas G, we're going to play some Jacob Miller. wish you a Merry Christmas. See you in January, y'all. Be good now.
Oh, year and New Year's are just the same. Christmas on a broke pocket day. We wish you a Irish Christmas. We wish you a Irish Christmas. We wish you a Irish Christmas. And a dance a New Year. Great tidings, Natty Jane bring you. Great tidings, Natty Jane bring you. Great tidings, Natty Jane bring you. And a dance a New Year. We skank and rock it to the rhythm. We rock and we rock at the rhythm. We scrub and we rub and we dubwise. And a happy dancer. We bring you a Irish Christmas. We bring you a Irish Christmas. We bring you a Irish Christmas. And a dancer. You scrub up on a Christmas. You rub up and you dub up on a Christmas. And I dance a New Year. We wish you merry, 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 merry Christmas. On a broke pocket day. Not even 1 cent to buy a little toy. We dance and rock it to the Iceman. Everybody gonna jump in and a shouting. And Ben Johnson dear, we wish you a Irish Christmas. We wish you a Irish Christmas. We wish you a Irish Christmas. And dance I'll do. Everybody in the dance I'll singing. Everybody in the dance I'll rocking. Everybody is skanking and a rocking. And a broke pocket deal. We rub up and a scrub up and a skanking. We skank and a rocking and a moving. We move and a rocking and a dubwise. And a happy New Year. We wish you a Irish Christmas. We wish you a Irish Christmas. We wish you a Irish Christmas. Yeah.